Scott had always told himself he was a perfectly ordinary man, which was only partly true in the way people use that phrase to make themselves feel stable. He worked in a mid-size office supply logistics company in Tempe, Arizona, though in practice it meant he spent most of his day smoothing out small disasters that no one else wanted to acknowledge. Tracking missing shipments, correcting order errors, calling warehouses that never picked up on the first try. It was not important work in any grand sense, but it was necessary, and Scott liked the quiet structure of it. Pam worked two desks over from Scott. She was in accounts receivable. Scott had been orbiting her presence for months in the careful way some men do when they're afraid of being noticed for trying too hard. He had memorized small things without meaning to. The way she tucked her hair behind her ear when she was concentrating, the soft rhythm of her typing when she was on a call, the faint pause she made before laughing at something someone else had said. That afternoon, the office had been strangely unified in its plans. Someone in HR had mentioned a fireworks display at the high school field a few blocks away, part of a local summer celebration, and the idea had spread through the floor like a shared assumption rather than an invitation. People who barely spoke were suddenly asking each other what time they were going, whether they were bringing drinks, whether it would be crowded. It felt to Scott like the building itself had decided on an outing and simply informed its occupants afterward. Pam was going. That fact had arrived early in the day, carried to him by someone else's casual sentence. By late afternoon, Scott's focus had narrowed to a single line of thought that kept looping back on itself. Tonight would be the night, he told Pam. He would find the right moment, after the fireworks, maybe while everyone was still looking up, and he would say it plainly enough that it could not be misunderstood. The idea both steadied him and made him slightly nauseous. When he got home, he moved through a ritual that felt more like preparation for battle than romance. He did push-ups on his apartment floor, counting them in a way that lost precision somewhere around 10. He stood, looked at himself in the bathroom mirror, and decided his face looked less tired than usual, which he chose to interpret as a good sign. He picked a shirt that was clean but not overly intentional, something that suggested effort without quite admitting it. Jeans that fit properly but didn't try to impress anyone. He rehearsed briefly, saying her name out loud in a calm voice as though it belonged there. Pam. Pam. Pam? Pam. It sounded different when no one else was around to hear it. By the time he left for the field behind the high school, the sky had begun to soften to that early evening gray that makes everything feel slightly postponed. He could hear the distant gathering of people before he saw them. Voices layered over each other, laughter carried on warm air, the faint metallic scent of food trucks setting up near the edge of the grounds. The crowd was exactly what he had expected, and still somehow larger. As though the entire town had agreed to occupy the same patch of grass all at once. Scott found his coworkers in a loose cluster near the middle of the field. Pam was there too, standing with a few people from accounting. Her posture relaxed in a way that made Scott feel immediately more aware of his own. She was talking, smiling at something someone had said, and for a moment he simply watched her as if observing a version of his own life that had not yet been ruined or redeemed. He kept telling himself there would be a natural moment. Something would open. A pause in the night large enough for a sentence to fit inside of it. But time, in crowds like this, did not move cleanly. It just thickened, scattered. Every time Scott thought he was close, someone else spoke, or someone laughed too loudly, or Pam shifted slightly, and the angle of her attention changed just enough to make him feel as though he had missed his chance again. And then, the sky began to change. At first, it was only a series of dull thumps in the distance, like a door somewhere far away being closed again and again. The crowd's attention lifted in unison, faces turning upward as though pulled by the same invisible thread. The first burst of light cracked open above the field, and everything beneath it went briefly still. Color spilled across the night in expanding circles, reds and golds. Electric blues that dissolved almost as quickly as they appeared. The sound followed each explosion a fraction too late, like the world itself was slightly out of sync with what it was witnessing. People around him reacted with the familiar awe of shared spectacle, the small gasps of laughter and murmured commentary of a crowd watching something designed to be beautiful. Scott looked up with everyone else. At first, it was exactly what it was supposed to be. Light and noise and fleeting patterns collapsing into darkness. But as the sequence continued, something in the repetition began to shift inside of him. Not the fireworks themselves. They were still explosions, still randomness, still smoke and color dissolving into the sky. But his attention started to organize them differently. His mind had begun to arrange the chaos into something more legible than it deserved to be. A burst of white opened wide, then fractured into smaller points that lingered just a moment too long. Another followed, and for a brief instant, the overlapping shape seemed to form something like structure. Scott blinked, certain it was just the way he was looking at it. Then another sequence bloomed, and for a moment the sky did not feel like the sky anymore. It felt like a surface. Pam lapped beside him at something someone said, and the sound anchored him briefly back into the field, into the grass, his feet, and ordinary presence of people around him. He thought about taking her hand, about turning slightly, letting the motion feel casual, letting it imply everything without requiring him to say it too soon. Yes, he thought. After this one. After the next one. The next explosion rose higher than the others, slower somehow, as though it had more time than it needed. The light spread outward in a way that made Scott's stomach tighten. He felt his breath shorten. Pam shifted closer to him, whether by accident or crowd pressure, he could not tell. Their shoulders nearly touched. This is it, he thought. Just take her hand. Just do it like it's nothing. Like it's meant to be. Above them, the sky ruptured again in overlapping bursts. Brighter now, more layered. The crowd reacted with louder approval as if the show had reached its peak. Scott tried to focus on the warmth of the moment. On the ordinary human closeness of being here with her. On the simple reality of grass and night air and shared experience. But Scott saw something else. It did not arrive with drama or sound. It simply became legible for an instant, as though the fireworks had briefly stopped being chaos and had agreed to form meaning. The shapes tightened in on themselves, bright points locking into a surface that felt less like decoration and more like communication. Not letters in any clean human sense, but something adjacent to language. Something that behaved like a message, even if it refused to stay still long enough to be read properly. Then Pam's voice cut through it. Scott, did you see that one? He turned toward her. The moment broke as soon as his attention shifted, like a page being turned too fast. When he looked back up, the sky was just fireworks again. Bursting color, drifting smoke, harmless noise dissolving into the night. The structure was gone. Whatever coherence he had felt a second ago had evaporated into the ordinary spectacle everyone else seemed to be enjoying without interruption. People were still reacting normally, applauding, laughing, pointing out their favorites. A few children were bouncing on their heels, begging for one more big one. Nothing in any of their faces suggested they had just witnessed anything other than a standard summer show. Pam was looking at him now. Her expression felt open, expectant in a way that made him suddenly aware of the weight of the moment he had been preparing for all day, all week, all year. This is nice, she said gently. It was there, the pause. The clean space between endings and departures where something honest could be said. Scott felt it, and failed to step into it. He smiled instead. Too late. Too small. Yeah. It's really nice. Pam held his gaze for a second longer than necessary. Just enough to suggest something had been left unsaid, or perhaps missed entirely. Then she smiled, slightly different now, and turned back toward the fireworks. When the final sequence began, Scott watched it without really seeing it. The sky filled with its usual climax, overlapping blooms of white and gold. The crowd reacting in a rising wave of sound that felt distant to him, like it belonged to another field in another town. He kept expecting the earlier moment to return, to resolve itself into something he could verify. It didn't. When it was over, the crowd dissolved slowly, like water draining from a tilted surface. People folded blankets, gathered chairs, called out to friends they had already started walking away from. Conversations overlapped and scattered. The spell of shared attention broke into hundreds of private exits. Scott walked Pam to her car. Neither of them mentioned what had almost happened between them. There were moments when it felt like she might, when she slowed slightly beside him, when she adjusted her grip on her keys, when she looked at him as if waiting for him to arrive at a sentence he had already begun. But Scott never found it. The words stayed lodged somewhere behind his ribs, heavy, inert. At her car, she paused with her hand on the door. "Tonight was fun," she said. "Yeah," Scott replied, too quickly. "Yeah, it was fun." Another pause, this one longer. Scott could feel it now, the fragile edge of something that would not wait forever without becoming something else. Pam seemed to notice it too. Her expression softened, as if she had adjusted her expectations downward. "Well," she said finally, "see you tomorrow." "Yeah," Scott said, again. And then, Pam was gone. Scott stood there for a moment after her taillight disappeared, the parking lot slowly thinning as other cars pulled out around him. He felt, with a dull clarity, that he had failed in a way that mattered more than he wanted to admit. Just enough to change the shape of things going forward. Scott walked back to his own car with that feeling still sitting in him when the other memory returned. The sky. The moment. The impossible coherence he had been certain he saw. Inside the car, the silence felt heavier than it should have. He sat for a moment without starting the engine, staring at the steering wheel as though it might offer some sort of answer. And then he drove. The roads away from the school were crowded at first, brake lights stretching in uneven lines through the night. Scott kept his hands steady on the wheel, though his attention was not entirely on the act of driving. It kept slipping back to the field, to the instant just before Pam had spoken, to the way the fireworks had briefly stopped feeling like fireworks at all. Scott replayed it on the drive home. What Scott saw had not been abstract to him in that moment. The fireworks had opened in overlapping bursts, but instead of scattering outward in chaos, several of the white explosions had appeared to hold position relative to one another, forming a loose grid suspended in the smoke. Within that grid, darker gaps had formed clean separations, like missing pieces in a diagram that was trying to complete itself. Then, as the next sequence fired, the pattern tightened. He saw what looked like repetition, clusters of light echoing previous clusters in slightly shift positions, not identical but insistently similar, like a message attempting to correct itself mid-transmission. There were moments where the spacing between bursts aligned into something almost mathematical, as though the sky had briefly been divided into measured intervals. Now, driving away from the school, Scott kept looking up through the windshield whenever the road straightened. But there was nothing. Just ordinary darkness, thin cloud cover drifting over the city glow. The occasional airplane blinking across the upper edge of the night like an indifferent punctuation mark. At a red light, he actually tilted his head back further, scanning the open space above the buildings. The sky remained empty of anything that resembled structure. Just the same harmless void that he had always known. When he finally got home, the silence inside his apartment felt different than usual. He didn't turn on many lights. Instead, he just lay down in his bed, fully dressed, staring up at the ceiling, letting his eyes settle on the small imperfections in the paint and the plaster. At first, he tried to see it again the way he had seen it outside. The hidden order beneath noise. The suggestion of something trying to communicate. He followed the bumps and the shallow dents across the ceiling like constellations, waiting for them to connect into something meaningful. For a few minutes, he almost convinced himself that if he relaxed his focus just enough, the pattern would resolve itself. But nothing resolved. The ceiling remained a ceiling, and it reminded him of something he had not thought about in years. His cousin. The one who used to talk about faces appearing in wallpaper and shadows that repeated themselves too often to be coincidence. Everything in the family had said it gently afterward, in the careful language people use when they are trying not to name something too directly. Scott had always told himself that wasn't him. Still, the memory clung to him now in a way it never had before. The same unsettling thought kept returning, quiet and unwelcome. He hadn't been looking for faces. He hadn't been looking for meaning. He had just looked up and saw it. And now, lying there in the dark, staring at a ceiling that refused to cooperate with him, he couldn't fully let go of what the sky had shown him. Fire. The next day at work moved at a different speed for Scott, though nothing in the office had actually changed. The printer still coughed out half-finished invoices at regular intervals. Someone still argued with the vendor in what felt like a normal conversation for the people on the phone. The air still smelled of reheated coffee and carpet. Scott, however, experienced all of it as if he were slightly out of sync, as though the rest of the office had agreed on a tempo that he could no longer adjust to. Every so often, without meaning to, he would glance toward Pam's desk. She was there. She was always there. That was the problem, and the relief of it. But today, she felt farther away, in the way that someone can feel emotionally relocated without having moved at all. She spoke less than usual. She kept her attention on her screen longer between breaks. When she did laugh at something a coworker said, it arrived and left quickly. Scott told himself he was just imagining things. Then he told himself he wasn't. By mid-morning, he had already decided he had missed his window. Idiots, he thought. The word didn't hurt so much as it simplified things for him. It gave Scott something clean to hold on to instead of the messier possibility that there had never been a window at all. He found, oddly, that the disgust helped. It gave him a direction. It was easier to focus on his own inadequacy than on the memory of the sky. By late afternoon, he had constructed a plan. He timed it carefully. Pam usually got coffee around the same hour before leaving for the day, a small ritual she didn't seem to think about. Scott waited for the moment she stood, watched her move toward the break area, and then followed her after a delay that felt just natural enough to not be noticeable. He told himself he was simply doing the same thing everyone else did, getting coffee, taking a break. He arrived just as she was alone near the machine. The timing, of course, was not accidental. Never was. Hey, Scott said, as if surprised to see her there. Pam looked up, mildly startled, then softened. Oh, hey, Scott. There was a small pause, the kind that used to feel full of possibility. Now it felt like something that needed to be navigated carefully. Scott filled it before it could grow teeth. So, are you going to happy hour tonight? He kept his voice light and casual, practiced. Pam tilted her head slightly, thinking. Oh, I can't tonight, she told him. I got plans. The sentence landed cleanly. Still, Scott's mind immediately translated it into something way more specific, way more cinematic, and way more painful. Plans. Of course she did. In his head, against his will, a version of the man behind those plans formed instantly. Taller than him, effortlessly confident, the kind of man who never had to rehearse sentences before speaking them, the kind of man who would dance at weddings with grandmothers and somehow make it look like a public service, the kind of man who didn't need to calculate timing because timing simply worked in his favor. Scott smiled anyway because it felt like the polite thing to do. Oh, he said. Yeah, no problem. Cool, yeah, right. Pam lingered for a fraction longer, key still in her hand, coffee untouched. There was something in her expression that might have been consideration, or curiosity, or just habit. Scott really couldn't tell. "I'll see you tomorrow," she told him. "Yeah," he said, too quick, too enthusiastic. "I mean, yeah, tomorrow, right." And then Pam was gone. Scott stood there for a moment in the break room, alone, watching the empty space she had just occupied, feeling the situation settle into its final, lonely shape. He walked back to his desk slowly, already deciding, even before he sat down, that happy hour was no longer part of the evening. Without Pam there, it didn't belong to him anymore. It belonged to other people who would naturally fit into it. If she wasn't going, there was no reason to stay in town at all. The high school field was still there, though. And if there had been something in the sky once, something real enough to break his attention, even for a second, then there was no guarantee that it had stopped. The parking lot was nearly empty when Scott arrived, but he didn't get out right away. For a long moment, he just sat in his car with the engine off, watching the few remaining headlights drift away in slow arcs. It struck him, suddenly and uncomfortably, how a grown man sitting alone outside a high school at night could look from the outside rather suspicious. He lowered himself instinctively in the driver's seat, even though no one was there to see him. When another car pulled out of the lot, he waited until the taillights disappeared before shifting slightly, then finally slipping lower into the back seat. He stayed like that for a couple minutes, listening to the quiet tick of the cooling engine and the distant hum of the town beyond the school grounds. The field was the same field, even though it didn't feel the same. Grass pressed unevenly under his shoes as he crossed it, each step sounding too loud in a place that shouldn't have been filled with noise just 24 hours earlier. The absence of the crowd didn't just remove the sound. Scott stopped where he had stood before. The sky above him was open, indifferent. Clouds moved in slow, unremarkable layers. Scott lifted his head anyway, searching without fully admitting he was searching. At first, there was nothing. And then, one section of cloud, higher than the rest, moved at a different rate. It drifted with subtle independence. The color was wrong in a way that was difficult to explain. Less like a different shade chosen from the same palette, and more like a slightly different absence of light. A muted density that made the surrounding sky feel artificially consistent. Scott didn't move. He just watched. The longer he looked at it, the more Scott started to feel like it knew it was being watched. There are accounts in scattered places and spoken in uncertain tones of people describing moments like this in different contexts, though Scott had never believed in any of them. Not as stories, not as explanations, but the descriptions themselves, when stripped of interpretation, often converge on something strangely familiar. A gradual narrowing of attention until the world outside a single point of focus begins to lose all relevance. His awareness of the field faded in edges, as though the grass beneath him had receded a few inches in every direction. The fence line, the buildings, even the distant road sounds all seemed to soften. The only thing that remained sharp was the moving patch of cloud, continuing its slow, independent drift across the sky. Scott became aware of a pressure building in his thoughts, subtle at first, then impossible to ignore. His attention did not move freely anymore. It settled on the cloud and stayed there, locked in place with a kind of quiet insistence that felt self-generated, but not entirely voluntary. Everything outside that focus lost definition. The field behind him, the fence line, even the distant town noise began to flatten. His body stopped responding with its usual ease. When he tried to shift his stance, the movement came late. His arms felt heavier at his sides. His neck did not want to turn. The decision to look away formed cleanly in his mind, but the action itself lagged behind it, delayed by a resistance he could not locate in any single part of himself. The cloud continued its movement across the sky. It had its own steady pace, steady and deliberate, cutting through the slower atmospheric drift without changing shape or breaking apart. Scott's breathing remained even, but his focus narrowed further. The edges of his perception thinned. Sounds from the world beyond the field lost all detail. The distant town became a single low presence. Even his awareness of standing in a schoolyard began to fade. He tried to lower his gaze, but his eyes did not follow. Instead, they remained on the cloud. A faint heat gathered behind his eyes. His thoughts stopped branching. They moved in a straight line, always returning to the same point of observation. The cloud continued its motion, and then the sky changed. It did not happen all at once. A section of darkness ahead of the cloud began to brighten. A section of darkness ahead of the cloud began to brighten, not with lightning or firework residue, but with a low, contained glow that seemed to exist behind the cloud layer, rather than within it. The glow had no center. It spread evenly, like something pressing outward from the other side of the sky. The cloud entered the illuminated area and became partially obscured. Where it overlapped the glow, its edges stopped behaving like vapor. The outer boundary sharpened. The interior lost softness. The shape became flatter, like a cutout placed against a light source. Within the glow, thin lines appeared. At first, they looked like breaks in the cloud cover, but they did not shift with the wind. They held fixed positions relative to each other, forming intersections. Horizontal and vertical segments emerged in uneven spacing. And then the lines brightened. They were not white. They were closer to a heated orange, like metal just before it changes state. The color spread along the segments without flicker, steady and continuous as though the illumination was traveling through them, rather than reflecting off of them. Scott's view stayed locked upward. Inside the illuminated cloud layer, the lines began to shift. Entire sections slid in parallel, maintaining spacing while changing position. New intersections formed where others separated. Then, between the lines, darker shapes appeared. Some of them were elongated. Some were compact. A few appeared stacked in vertical sequences. The glow intensified. A low red tone spread through the illuminated area, replacing the earlier orange. The cloud around the structure did not burn or disperse. It remained present, but now it looked secondary. Scott's breathing remained even. The red structure stabilized for a moment. Across it, short segments of brightness appeared in repeating intervals, blinking in sequences that did not match natural rhythm. And then the entire formation shifted sideways. Not the cloud, but the structure inside of it. Every line, every intersection, every dark segment moved together as a single unit, maintaining internal spacing while translating across the sky. The surrounding clouds did not follow. They continued their own slow drift, unchanged, unaffected. Scott did not lower his gaze. The glowing structure passed out of the center of its vision and re-entered another section of the cloud, where it became partially obscured again. For a brief moment, only fragments remained visible. Interrupted lines, partial intersections. The glow reduced gradually. The sky returned to its previous state. Dark, layered, moving slowly in uneven directions. A final configuration held for a second longer than anything had before. It was not a shape he could name, yet it felt so familiar. And then it dimmed. Scott closed his eyes, overcome with terror. Yet he could still feel what was looking down upon him. The glow reduced gradually, leaving the cloud behind it unchanged, and the sky returned to its previous state, dark, layered. When Scott opened his eyes, he was still in the field. But it was daylight.